Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Fans, this is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. I'm having a lot of issues, if you haven't figured that out. All right, I think I got what I need to accomplish doing a show tonight. Anyway, this is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. If this is your first time hearing it, the intro definitely is not exactly like this. Just been having some audio issues, so bear with me. Just want to double check that everything is lovely. Just want to double check a couple of things. Okay. All right. So I'm just going to do this fucking show and just get it over with, because I tried to do one Wednesday before I went to work. Couldn't get it to work. That's actually when I realized I had a problem. Last night, I mean, I got a lot of problems, but I'm talking about sound problems, right? We all have problems. So I thought, okay, cool. I'll get that figured out. Went home last night. Thought I had the problem solved. Did the show. Or no, I didn't do the show. I thought I had it solved. So I thought, all right, I'll do it tomorrow during the afternoon. Did like an hour show. And a minute seven showed up as archived and ready to play. And then at minute seven is just my intro music. That's it. So anyway, I believe everything is on course right now. Like I said, I don't know exactly what went wrong, but it doesn't matter. So I am back late night, Thursday night, West Coast style. And I just hope this thing records and archives and I can move on. You know what I mean? I can move on to next week. Anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast, like I said, it usually doesn't start this way. We do have some things to talk about from last weekend. The Facebook, Golden Boy Facebook fight event. What have they got, five of them or something like that? Diaz and Rojas. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll preview the weekend. You know, there's names, Tyson Fury, Carl Frampton, ESPN2, and ESPN has a show. Lots of different shows if you think worldwide. But there's nothing that really stands out as a top fight, that it fight, right? Where you're just like, oh, dude, I cannot wait for this fight. It's just not a whole lot that stands out like that. But sometimes on these weekends, like I've said plenty of times in the past, sometimes we end up getting something surprise, some sort of surprise fight that we all are talking about. Who knows? Maybe we'll get that. But anyway, like I said, we'll talk about the schedule. We'll break down some of the fights, but when I say breakdown, it's really just preview. I'm not going to sit here and give you the X's and O's on Tyson Fury's fight. You know what I mean? So we'll start with recap. We'll talk about, after that, we'll go to the weekend, talk about the weekend. Not the band, but this coming weekend. And then we'll get into some news. Eddie Hearn, Bob Arum, Manny Pacquiao, Top Rank, Matchroom Sports USA, DAZN, ESPN, all involved in the news. Some PED noise on Twitter the other day. We'll get into that. And just a variety of things. The WBO is busy making mandatories for Anthony Joshua. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And just some fight news. Pacquiao and Arum had a meeting. We'll catch you up with that. And then I think it was last week, maybe it was the week before, I talked about Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder fight. And, you know, it's going to be pay-per-view in the UK, of course, but it's also going to be pay-per-view here. And I got a lot of questions, a lot of people in my DM or texting me randomly asking me, you know, how much do you think it can sell on pay-per-view in the States? So we're going to talk all about that. But why don't we – well, actually, before we get into that, though, if this is your first time listening to Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast, it streams live right here in archives. It's basically the headquarters for the show at blogtalkradio.com/Rope-A-Dope Radio. Okay? It's also available on iTunes, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn. I know through Spreaker and TuneIn, I believe you can stream it on Spotify. It's also a part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which you can definitely stream on Spotify. It's available on iHeartRadio as well. Check out thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's boxing, it's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's everything in between. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. Read an article. I do boxing articles, football, basketball articles. You can listen to a podcast there, and also you can place a bet right there. They got a great sponsor. It'll link you right to mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. It's a growing website. I mean, the number of hits it's getting is just – it's catching crazy fire right now. So, you know, be a part of it. Anyway – let's start with Jesus Rojas and JoJo Joseph Diaz Jr. That's the Facebook fight. And lucky enough for me and many others who didn't watch the actual live stream, lucky for us, we didn't have to miss, what was it, four rounds? I believe it was four rounds. Now, don't get me wrong. It still had some issues, you know what I mean? It definitely had some issues, but no, you know, it just wasn't as bad as watching it live because they literally missed four rounds. So we'll get into some of that in a little bit as far as, like, you know, the fallout from the stream going down. And I mean, Dan Raphael definitely had a lot to say about that, about the stream going down, and him and Oscar kind of went at it a little bit. And I noticed Dan is, like, not afraid to rip or hack, you know, many, like, basically everybody, PBC, HBO, Golden Boy, right? Except when it comes to ESPN. So it's kind of funny there, but we'll get into that in just a second. I just wanted to make sure I got their conversation down here because it was kind of funny. It was kind of funny. Where the hell is it? Okay. I think I got it. I honestly thought this might be another test show, so I'm a little off it. You know what I mean? All right, let me just make sure. So, as far as the fight goes, damn it, where the hell is it? Huh. Now I'm not seeing it. That's strange. Anyway, as far as the fight goes, it was a good scrap. Now, like I said, I was lucky, like many of us, to watch the replay when the whole event was already archived. Now, I didn't watch the whole event, but I watched chunks of it. But I'm just going to break down the main event. And, you know, it did, the stream was recorded and everything. Like I said, it didn't say, you could kind of tell actually what round. It was between rounds where they flashed up the technical issue sign, you know what I mean, on the screen. So you could tell that's where they lost it. But slowly but surely, as the rounds went on, it did actually start to falter when you're watching it. It would, like, pause, and then, like, 3 seconds would go by. And, you know, that's not the end of the world, as long as it didn't happen a lot. But as the rounds went on, in that four-round period or so, it started being longer, 5 and 7 sec gaps. So when you have 5 and 7 seconds gaps, it's really hard to score some rounds. So I'm just honest with you. Like basically everybody else, there's no way anybody, unless you were live there or were on some other stream, you know, illegal stream, you know, maybe you saw it then. You know, maybe you saw it then. But other than that, I don't know, man. Anyway, let's get into it. So, well, first on the broadcast team was a little funky. they called Jesus Rojas the heaviest puncher at 126. It could be. I'm not sure who is he knocked out on the high level? That I don't know, but he is a heavy puncher, right? They also had this moment where the crowd, you know, they had a shot of the crowd, and this woman in the crowd was starting to dance a little bit in her seat. She was having a good time. And one of them even said, "Hey, girl," like just out loud. And the other one was like, "Hey, those two are your two. You could have them both." And the other guy's like, "Both?" He's like, "Well, I'm married." It was really kind of weird. It was very weird. They did it a little bit later, too. And I don't know if it's just kind of like their way of having fun and making it a little bit different because it is on Facebook, or if they decided to just add this and maybe, you know, they're going to say, "Hey, don't do that anymore." I don't know. But when they saw a girl two separate times, they made sure to comment on the girl, which I'm not sure. I mean, especially, you know, I mean, let's be honest, especially right now in this day and age, right? You might end up getting me too if they don't be a little bit more careful. But I thought that was, I thought it was a little unprofessional. But usually if the broadcast team is going to mention someone on that comes on camera, in a shot, it's usually a celebrity, you know, whether it's a boxer or an actor or a, you know, sports celebrity, whatever. But anyway, let's get to the fight. So the first two rounds, I did think JoJo Diaz won them. He was busier. He started his attack to the body and then would go to the head. It was a good start for Rojas in the second round. Pretty much a lot of even rounds in this fight. But then Diaz, he came out with some confidence that second round too, like as it went on, because he let his hands go. Not just the jab, not just the shots to the body, especially the right hand to the body. I noticed he kind of stepped aside and really get, you know, dig into that body shot. But he also landed some nice uppercuts too. Then I felt like Rojas started winning some rounds in a row. He was busier, whereas Diaz was only comboing in spots. And he went to the body as well. He started, you know, really getting to that body attack. The fourth and fifth round were very close. I think, like, Rojas was, like, active early and mid-fourth round. But Diaz boxed well down the stretch. So that was close. That could have went either way. Now, the fifth round, that's right when the recorded stream, was choppy. And that's also the time when they started commenting on, saying, "Hey, girl," to one of the, it was really weird. It's very weird. Portland, can you hear me? I want to make sure you can hear me. If you can hear me, this is going to be perfect, because if you can hear me, then a little bit later, I'm going to go to you and see if I can hear you, because that's my biggest issue right now is messing with it. But I assume you can hear me, I hope, unless something's happened the last little bit, loud and clear. All right, well, I got stage one done. Now, hearing people is going to be the interesting part, but whatever. That's neither here or there. But, like I said, the fifth round, that's when the stream got choppy. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, dude, there was no stream. They shut it down for four rounds. I think they started showing, like, I don't know if it was, like, recent Golden Boy stuff or if it was Oscar De La Hoya stuff. I'm not sure. Because, like I said, I didn't see it live. I know that you could tell they're having technical problems because the fifth round, man, I don't know. I think Rojas won it from what I could tell. I thought he did a little bit more steady work. The sixth round was another close round, but, man, the video issues in the sixth and seventh round, you know, the little gaps, like I said, it was 2 and 3 second gaps that it would pause. And then it would catch up, and you're like, oh, okay, I missed that part. Oh, I missed that part. But then it started getting to 5 and 2nd and 7 and 9 second gaps. And I think 9 is like the top one I counted. It's like, all right, dude. So I couldn't really tell you, to be honest with you, the 6 and 7. I really couldn't. I saw the round, but I missed so much of it with those pauses and gaps that I can't really tell you exactly who won. I think Rojas won the sixth. I really can't tell you who won the seventh. I did give Diaz – by the eighth round, though, it was getting a lot better. So I gave Diaz the eighth and ninth. I thought he was boxing very well. He would land nice combinations, a jab, a left hook, a right hook to the body, and he would pivot and move. He was boxing really, really well, I thought. So I gave him the 8th and 9th. 10th round, it was close. There was a lot of exchanges. Good body work by both, but I think Diaz landed just a couple more flush shots. That was the difference maker for me there. 11th round, good action round. Once again, Diaz a little busier, and I gave Rojas the last round. I thought he just was just a little more active, wanted it a little bit more down the stretch, but it was a good scrap. I had it like 7-5 for Diaz, the official scorecard, which the frickin' ring announcer just totally went through it. 117, 116, 150. It was like he was an auction dude. Give me a 117, 111, 116, 112, 115, 113. I couldn't tell you. It's like, dude, slow the fuck down. So 117, 111, which is, I think, kind of silly. 116, 112, 115, 112 were the other two scorecards for Diaz. He gets the win. Does not get the secondary WBA belt, though, which is obviously not a good look for him. It's too bad. It's really too bad because that in time, that actually would have given him a mandatory spot for Leo Santa Cruz potentially. As we know, this is the same belt actually that Abner Mares had. And he was the mandatory. A lot of people forgot, but he was the mandatory for Leo Santa Cruz. A lot of people are like, oh, why is that fight even happening? Well, one, they're going to do a good gate. Two, it's going to do an all right rating, and it's a good fight. It's a good action fight, but it's also got to keep his belt, whatever. So from what I understand, it did seem like Diaz said that, you know, it was just really tough. I know he tried to win, then they gave him some time. They usually give you 2 hours. Tried again, couldn't quite shave off enough. I think he was like 0.6 over, not much over. It's too bad, though. You know, it is what it is. Maybe maybe it was too quick of a turnaround. What'd they say? It was less than 90 days on the turnaround. So Maybe that had something to do with it. I'm not really sure. Who knows? Who really knows? But he said he's going to – I believe the last time I saw an interview, he was saying that I'm going to try to make it. Going to try to make it, but I may end up moving to 130. And, you know, he's got pop. He's got some explosiveness at featherweight at 126, but not that much. You know, especially when you're going to face higher quality guys. Right? And at 130, man, you just wonder. You wonder what his power would be at then when he doesn't have a whole lot of power down at 26. In the long run, though, you never know. It could actually improve because maybe he's not starving himself to make it. And he's got more punch resistance. I guess you never know. But a good fight overall, good scrap. I liked it. Like I said, the middle rounds, it was tough. I had it about 7-5 though when I look at it. Maybe 8-4, you know, possibly in favor of Diaz. So a good win for him. And overall, obviously it did kind of suck that the stream went down. I think they missed 4 rounds. But yeah, I mean, Dan Raphael called it a complete failure. This main event, Facebook Golden Boy, because, you know, there's been a ton of fights on Facebook, but not Facebook Watch, right? And that's what Oscar De La Hoya is saying. Hey, we get a licensing fee, so it is different. But, you know, I don't know. Things happen. It did suck that it happened during the main event. That obviously makes it way worse. But, yeah, he said, you know, it's a complete failure. And if who the hell in their right mind would watch this again if they tuned in and it happened again? You know, that type of thing. And it's like, well, dude, just calm down. It happens. It's not the end of the world. It did suck, though. Don't get me wrong. Especially when you have, like, Oscar De La Hoya before they announced this Facebook deal, he was saying it was a game changer. And he was talking, you know, these fights can be shown in a potential of 2 billion people and all that. And I guess it's getting a lot of views. I heard a lot of people say it was right around like 55,000, 65,000, somewhere in that range when they're watching it live. Obviously, it fell off, I'm sure, after, because a lot of people probably went away from it after a while. But from what I understand, it's over 2 million now as far as the views. So that is cool. Now, you got to keep it in mind, though, that it's like, what was it, a 3-hour stream or something like that? I don't even remember if it's 2.5 hours, 3 hours, something like that. But if you watch the thing for 3 seconds, that counts as a view. So we can't sit there and say that 2 or 3 million people saw the whole fight type thing. You know what I mean? Obviously, the people that saw it live didn't see the whole fight. It was impossible. But overall, it was a good fight. I did think Dan, you know, Raphael, man, he can sit there and rip everybody except ESPN. And it's just so funny. It's really funny to me. And I'll get into him a little bit later. But, yeah, he was back saying this is fucking a failure, and if this happens again. But, you know, I didn't really hear him say, like, anything that negative when ESPN Plus lost a handful of rounds. Now, given it wasn't in the main event, which does make a difference, but it's just another example of Dan Raphael, like, not, like, just being biased towards it. You know, he's got this shtick where he's Mr. Tell It Like It Is. I'm just keeping it real. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling the truth, that type of thing. You know what I mean? So he tells the truth, and he uses words like putrid and horrid, horrendous, complete, utter failure, you know, that type of shit. And I get it. That's his shtick. It has been for a while, but it's real funny how lightly he treads on ESPN. He doesn't even tread on ESPN, honestly. I mean, don't get me wrong. He'll say if an opponent is not well, he doesn't say the opponents aren't up to standard, which is what he should be saying, or he should be saying putrid or whatever the words he likes to say, but he doesn't even, like, test it. And it's just funny. Like, even with this, remember we were talking about there's a rumor out there for the PBC on Fox that they're, you know, the PBC and Fox Sports are going to do a deal, potentially. It's just a rumor right now. He's been all over the place with this rumor. So before, and this is months ago, someone asked him in the chat if, you know, they think PBC is going to get a Fox deal. And he said, yeah, I do think that. Then months later, after, well, the UFC had moved from Fox to ESPN, right? And by the way, it'll be interesting to see how much the UFC takes away as far as coverage and just just overall coverage and like how many fights a year is ESPN, you know, top rank going to break through to all these other shows and not get overshadowed by the UFC. That's going to be interesting for them. But this was after, so he said, yeah, they're going to get a deal. I'm pretty confident. Like he knew it was like going to be finalized or something, right? Then after the UFC thing, and then the Fox actually got WWE. I think they're going to go from Tuesday to Friday night, if I remember correctly. So then he says, then someone asked him again, he said, no, they're not going to get a deal because Fox spent all their money on WWE. That's what he said. This is just not long ago. Then recently now, he says, well, the deal is pending on whether or not PBC will be exclusive to Fox. So meaning, you know, they don't want any of the, they don't want Showtime, they don't want anything. And he also talked about the deal, even though it's not announced, the deal is actually for less money per year than what Showtime's given out, which that totally could be. But my point is he's got all this detail, and he said it basically is coming down to that. We'll see if they get the deal done. And you know, who knows? Maybe Showtime will say, hey, these six fighters we've put a lot of money into, these are going to be Showtime fighters. And then the rest of his, you know, maybe it's six or eight guys and the rest go to Fox as PBC fighters. I don't know. But it's funny that he had all this detail that he was willing to part with. He hasn't written a story about it, but he was willing to get this information out there. But when it came to the ESPN deal, he wouldn't get out shit. He wouldn't talk about anything. Near the end, when they were going to announce it potentially, he did. I remember him responding to me. He's saying that it's a non-lineal TV, whether that mean it was going to be a streaming service, like streaming channel, or it was going to be part of this ESPN. We did know that ESPN Plus was coming. We didn't necessarily know it was called that or what it would be per se, but we knew that was coming to an extent. A lot of people have talked about it. And ultimately, this is just the start of it. Disney is going to, you know, they're going to have their own streaming service package that's going to have a variety of stuff, not just sports. And I guess they'll probably up the price on it, you know, and have a lot more content on there, maybe even more big-time sports, you know, besides just the ones that they have. But anyway, it was just funny how, like, all this information, but yet his own company that he works for, he either wouldn't release the information or didn't know it. And then when the deal went through, he still didn't know and didn't want to talk about the per-year thing. He barely gave any details, but yet he's already given details when it comes to this. And like I said, here we are, the fourth event, right, in a row on ESPN. I'm not talking about ESPN Plus. I'm talking about primetime ESPN, which is actually what most of us got really excited about. They have 18 cards on primetime main event every year. That's what they're scheduled to do. And it's with this weekend coming up, and we're going to go over, we're going to preview the schedule here in just a moment. But with this weekend coming up, that makes four. That's right, count them. Four main events that were at best mediocre on paper, at best. Obviously, the Jose Ramirez opponent, you know, fainted and had a health issue, couldn't do the weight, you know, he had a bunch of issues, so that main event got scrapped, obviously. But still, it wasn't like it was a ho-hum event. But here we are, four main events in a row that have been at minimum subpar, pedestrian, to say the least, right? And you don't hear shit from them. You don't hear putrid. You don't hear horrendous. You don't hear despicable. You know, that type of thing. And it's funny because the last year and a half or so, he's, you know, been ripping HBO, rightfully so. Sometimes he would just hand it to PBC. Sometimes rightfully so, sometimes other times, not so much. But it's funny because right before, and I talked about this in June, right before they're about to go three in a row, where it just wasn't that good in the main event on paper. They did have a really good co-feature, though, in that first one with Ramirez's card. But it's just funny to me. You know, in fact, remember he had that article saying, all right, well, boxing's going on its summer break. And it's like, you mean ESPN's just not giving us good content in the main event? It's not on a summer break, because if you look 2015, 2016, 2017, those are fairly busy summers comparatively to a handful of years before that, before the PBC, before all that stuff. So I just find it funny that the only article or only little blog he could make is boxing on its summer break. Well, no, it's not on his summer break, Dan. It's late June, and ESPN's about to go three in a row. And remember, one of them they gave to DiBella in Regis Prograis just so Jose Ramirez wouldn't have to fight the guy. They gave away a main event, a primetime ESPN main event, just so they didn't have to match their guy. And this weekend isn't much better. So anyway, it's my little rant. A lot of people have been talking about Dan this weekend, you know, about some of it positive, like, yeah, go after Golden Boy and all that. And don't get me wrong, it does suck that stream went down, but just be consistent, dude. Just be consistent. Well, you know what? There was actually, earlier this morning, there was a fight in Japan where there was an upset. TJ Donahue, he beat Iwasa, I think it is. It's for an IBF 122-pound belt. Let me check. Yeah, Iwasa, I think it is. So that was a minor upset. I'm going to actually check that out on ESPN Plus here sometime this weekend. Then on Friday night, Golden Boy returns on ESPN 2 or ESPN Deportes from Indio, California. Be interesting to see how that card turns out. Of course, we do have BN Sports in Smanion. There's a women's strawweight title up for grabs. Ortiz and Leon. CBS Sports Network also has a card. What is it? Gulub? Ivan Gulub. I've seen him on Showbox, I believe, against Leonardo Tyner. I like Leonardo Tyner. He's just an old vet. DeMarcus Chop Chop Corley. Nice. I've always liked Chop Chop. He gave Mayweather a good fight. Gave a lot of people a good fight, actually. And on Cloud TV, by the way, there is a fight as well from Russia. But the two events that we're going to talk about a little bit anyway as we preview is Saturday night from Atlantic City, and now that's twice in August, which is a positive thing for Atlantic City. two times Atlantic City now in August has gotten a card. So that's good, man. That's really good. Anyway, Bryant Jennings and Alexander Dimitrenko, I think it is. And Dimitrenko, what's his best win? Like Eddie Chambers? He beat Eddie Chambers, right? Basically a guy that's kind of stepped up, and every time he stepped up, he just hasn't quite, well, not every time, but most of the time. But he's all right. He's an all right fighter. Jesse Hart is in a fight with Mike Gravaninsky. I've seen him fight. I just don't remember exactly what fight, but I've definitely watched some highlights. Hopefully it's more than just a stay busy fight. I know that Top Rank is trying to set up Jesse Hart against Gilberto Ramirez for the rematch. Also, Shakur Stevenson takes on Carlos Ruiz, an 8-round featherweight. Oh, Jason Sosa returns as well on that card. I'm assuming they're going to start with Stevenson and make it a triple header. I believe, anyway. Yeah, I mean, like I said, do I think this is just a garbage main event? No, I'm not calling it garbage. I don't think it's a horrible main event by any stretch, but, you know, I don't think it's great either. You know what I mean? I really don't think it's that great either. So, it is what it is. Now, you know, maybe Bryant Jennings is just not, you know, like he's just not on his P's and Q's in this fight, let's say. And he looked okay in his last fight. He looked all right. He's fought twice this year already. He did have that really good performance, and this is already back in 2000. This is over 3 years ago, 2015, when he went 12 rounds, but there were 12 good hard rounds with Klitschko. But then his next fight later that year, Luis Ortiz TKO'd him in the seventh. That's when everybody was like, oh, shit, Ortiz. Golly, like, oh my God, this dude's a murderer, you know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, Dimitrenko, he did get knocked out quick a couple years back against Joseph Parker. You know, he's beaten, like, Adrian Grenat, who's an unbeaten guy. I've actually never seen him fight. He KO'd him in the first round. Then there was a disqualification. So he fought these two, basically, prospects and beat them. But prior to that, Pulev knocked him out late. Let me check, actually. I know it was late. Yeah, it was 11th round. Oh, he did lose to Eddie Chambers. I thought he beat Eddie Chambers. So, Derek Rousey, like, what's his best win? Maybe that's it. I mean, I guess you could count some of these unbeaten prospects, but I won, you know? So if Jennings is anywhere near, we know he's not, like, in his prime. His best fights, we just said, his best fight, best performance was back in 2015. But I think he's just at a higher, he's at a higher level, let's say. No matter where they're at in their career, he's just a better fighter than, you know, Jennings is just a better fighter. So he should win. He may knock him out. He may just go for it. I could see, like, a TKO. I think that's possible. And maybe he'll set himself up, for Joseph Parker or somebody like that in the future. I know they talked about that, you know, not long ago, but that obviously was before Parker went back to back, you know what I mean? In big fights or whatever. So yeah, that's the card. Like I said, see what I mean? It's not really, like, on paper, Bryant Jennings and Alexander Dimitrenko, is that really that good of a fight? No, but I wouldn't go and call it just garbage either. It is what it is. But coming off the heels of three ESPN back-to-back-to-back main events that, it's kind of, it's disappointing. I don't know where Dan Raphael is in all this, but it is disappointing. The rest of us kind of think it's disappointing. Unless you got your, you know, head so far up Bob Arum's ass, you know. I still think that maybe seeing Teddy Atlas get, you know, canned because he's still around the ESPN brand for boxing, but I think having him like get, you know, I mean, he got downgraded, obviously, and maybe that's in his head, like, hey, I can't go that hard on Bob because Bob will get me fired. I have no clue, but it's really unlike Dan to do this. Usually Dan is that guy that will go after you, you know. But we did start to see it with the PBC, him being a little over the top. So now we're starting to see it where he's, you know, just leaving it alone. The other fight card going on is from Belfast, Northern Ireland. It's I think it's Windsor Park is the stadium. What is it, like 25 or 28,000 they're going to pack in there? So that's really cool. Carl Frampton and a prospect, Luke Jackson, are going to fight for an interim WBO belt. Tyson Fury returns against Francesco Pianetta. I think it's Pianetta. Patty Barnes takes on Christopher Rosales for his WBC flyweight belt. And, you know, for Carl Frampton, this is just a fight. Both these fights are like a means to an end. Like, get through this weekend and bigger things are right there. Right there for you. Carl Frampton, if he gets by Luke Jackson, what most of us think he will, he's going to face Josh Warrington, who just got that big win over Lee Selby not long ago. So, was that May? I want to say it was May. I think it was May. I think it was May 19th, actually. But I'm really looking forward to that fight. That'll be in one of those bigger indoor arenas that they have there. That's a good fight. I really like that fight. And the styles match up where you got Josh Warrington who's coming for you and Frampton who likes a guy to come to him, right? Pause. Now Tyson Fury returns, like I mentioned. He's facing a guy who, well, at least he's a freaking heavyweight this time. Let's hope. Let's pray. I'm going to pray right now to the boxing gods. Boxing gods, please. Please, 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 please make this a better fight than that absolute putrid, to steal Dan Raphael's line, putrid, like borderline exhibition fight that was the last fight with Tyson Fury back in June. I mean, for Christ's sakes, the fight outside the ring interests more people than the fight inside the ring. So that was just a farce, just garbage. So let's hope it's better. And, you know, if you look at the opponent, this guy's not a killer. In fact, Kevin Johnson just knocked him out. But basically, when he's been up, you know, in there against a quality guy, he's gotten knocked out, basically. So, but he is a big guy. He's 6'5", much bigger than the last dude that Tyson fought, who looked like he was like 5'4", even though I know he wasn't. He just looked that way. And he's a big dude. I'm not going to sit there and say he's that durable, but he's kind of a rough-and-tumble, come-forward fighter. I've seen him, I think, about three different fights. Definitely seen, like, probably some clips, you know, after his fights back then, just a quick highlight of it or whatever. But I think it's a good opponent for him at this stage to have a guy come to you. That way you can get your timing down. You can get that jab pumping. And you can pivot. You can get some movement in there. I think the first couple rounds, it'll be kind of, I fucking hope it's not like the last fight. But hopefully he's just getting his timing down. And then he starts to maybe open up with some combinations. But I think it's really, you'd want rounds. I think you really want rounds at this point. If, in fact, you're going to face Deontay Wilder next. And like I said, Josh Warrington is going to be ringside, you know, waiting for Carl Frampton to see if he can get the next fight, which it sounds like that's going to happen. big fight in the UK. I would love if that fight went down. Tyson Fury is going to have Deontay Wilder for BT Sports. Deontay Wilder. To the left. But Tyson Fury, as we know, Wilder's going to be ringside. I'm assuming he's going to jump in the ring and they're going to go head-to-head like they did a little over, well, probably about 2.5 years ago in Brooklyn. Remember when Tyson Fury jumped up and just made a big, 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 like, debacle of the whole thing. It was quite funny. So I'm assuming that's what's going to happen. And I see Fury, like I said, taking a couple rounds to fill it out, get his timing, get his jab. Try to transfer what we've seen in these video clips of him hitting the, you know, the mitts and everything, and seeing if he can transfer it in there, because he has good movement. He's got a good jab. And when he's on his defensive game, he can be hard to hit. Other times, I mean, we've seen Cunningham knock him down. We've seen, like, run-of-the-mill dudes, mediocre guys, knock him down. And I'm not talking about Cunningham there. But Cunningham, you know, that was when he was just trying out heavyweight up there. So that wasn't when he was a cruiserweight. He's a much better cruiserweight. But so, yeah, I assume both of them will win cleanly. I think both of them will win. I wouldn't doubt if it was like technical stoppage. So that is the weekend. Like I said, hopefully we get something that surprises us. Maybe it's on BN Sports in Spanish. Who knows? Maybe it's one of these, you know, maybe we'll just get, somebody will send me a DM and be like, hey, dude, you got to check this fight out. A lot of times it happens on these weekends where we got names, like I mentioned, Carl Frampton, Tyson Fury. We have names, recognizable names, even in the main event on ESPN. If you watch boxing, you've seen one of them. You've seen Jennings for sure, probably. So that's the weekend. And now I'm just going to kind of cover the news. I'm going to let 503 get in here and put in his 2 cents. Hopefully I'll be able to hear him. that's kind of been an issue that I've been kind of grinding out a little lately. I don't know what the hell happened. Basically, you know, with the new Skype format, the way I used to tweak it, I don't really know exactly what the hell happened. I used to be able to just easily, you know, tweak it, but for some reason, it just went weird. You know what I mean? So, and someone was using it the other day, and I think they hit something that I just can't freaking find now. Something is just a little off. But anyway, let's stay with this top rank PN stuff, right? Since we're on the topic, and we're gonna throw in Eddie Hearn in there too, because it all kind of has to do with the same thing. So, as we know, DAZN is like a little over a month away from being here in America. In America, right? So, Eddie Hearn wasn't able to land a big fish, right? He wasn't able to land a big fish. He's got some quality, good fighters, but nothing really stands out, per se. And he had signed, some of the times, like Better Biev and a couple other guys, he signed co-promotions where he'll co-promote, right? He'll split the promotions. And this time it was Maurice Hooker. Maurice Hooker is signed, I believe, with Roc Nation. And so they entered in a co-promotional. And Cicedo, who actually just fought in a great action-packed fight, that kind of saved that card, by the way. That was going to be a big fight. And I remember Eddie Hearn on IFL TV on the Boxing Voice. Shout out to Ness. He did a great job covering that, you know, just talking to Eddie and other fighters and managers and all that too in Chicago. But those, that interview, it's cut up in a couple of different, you know, he didn't cut it up in like a minute and a half, 2 minute clips either. I mean, there's like a chunk that's like a really long one and then like a 10 minute one. So go check it out at theboxingvoice.com, that YouTube channel and whatnot. But, so now Eddie Hearn kind of has to throw his money around, because remember, he got this big billion-dollar deal, supposedly like $125 million per year budget just to spend, because we heard him on Ness's interview saying, I could go five or six or eight. I'll throw money at Garcia and Spence just to try to land, you know, some talent here, or better-known talent. More high-profile talent. And so his other option is to just win the purse bids. Because remember, he was like, could you imagine if Dominic Brazil and Wilder could not come to terms and I swoop in and I get the purse bid and I win the purse bid? See, that's what I'm going to do. And that's kind of – it's a smart thing. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. He's going to have to do that until he lands some big fish. That's just the bottom line. Well, we have ourselves a winner of this purse bid for the Cicedo and Hooker fight. And it didn't really work out Eddie's way. Top Rank wins the purse bid with a bid of $1.6 million. So it's basically $1.625. And Eddie Hearn's bid was $1.555. So clearly he thought that Top Rank wouldn't go over 1.5 mil. He threw in that little 55 in there, you know. So they, he missed it. He missed it, man. So that's rough. And this is a good fight, but it's not even that. It might be a barn burner, but it's not some high-profile great fight. These are fights he has to get, and he didn't get it. But it also shows you Top Rank Cicedo is back in Oklahoma City. It's going to be either November 16th or 17th, so that's really cool that they're going back to his hometown. Cicedo had that great performance, man, so I'm happy for the kid, no doubt about it. But that sucks for Eddie, dude. That really sucks for Eddie. And the other thing, though, for Top Rank, if you got 1.6 mil to spend on this fight, then you need to put up a little bit more money for your fighter's opponent. Now, we saw they put up some money with Linares. We saw they put up some money even for Riggo, right? Riggin Diao. They did put up some money for Ndongo. I know that. I'm pretty sure they put up some nice change. But that's kind of the one thing that stands out as, you really don't have the opponents for your guys. And you're going to need that ongoingly on this deal, since it just, you know, they just re-up for 7 years. So let's hope Top Rank, you know, if they got 1.6 to spend on this fight. Now, I know they had competition, so they had to overpay. Both had to overpay. It's really funny how now I guess overpaying fighters is a cool thing, right? Because it was really bad when Al Haymon did it. And it's going to screw up the whole market. But then it's okay, I guess, when they do it. Because remember, even Eddie now says, man, you know, he used to rip PBC and Al for doing it. But now he's like, yeah, I'm actually doing it, and I'm trying to do it even more. So it's just kind of funny. But, you know, you got a goal. You got to do what you got to do. Let's see here. Let's keep it Top Rank in Bob Arum. Bob Arum flew to the Philippines to meet up with Manny Pacquiao. They had a meeting, had a conversation, and basically Bob was quoted several different places saying, we had a meeting, it went good, now it's up to me to get the event, to get the opponent, and to get some money. Now, there's been talk about Bob saying, we have his U.S. rights. Manny Pacquiao, you know, he begs to differ. He says, nah, dude, I'm a free agent, period. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But the only thing that really came out of it is Pacquiao wants Lomachenko, which is no secret. But what else is, you know, the other thing, the other item that isn't a secret either is Pacquiao wants it at a catchweight. And I can't blame him. I mean, He hasn't fought. Did he fight one fight at 135? Was it against Diaz and that's it? Was it David Diaz, I think? Was it just one fight or two fights? I'm pretty sure it's just one or two, maybe just one. But anyway, he hasn't been there in a while. And I do get it. I mean, Lomachenko's side has said, no, we don't want a catch weight. So I understand it. I mean, dude just got knocked down from Linares, who is not known as a guy who has that much power. Now, he won the fight. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, size-wise, and to be able to still keep popping power of his own, which he showed, you know, in the end. Yeah, Lomachenko's side, especially his pops, you know, has been saying, no, we don't want the catch weight. If he wants to come to 35, come on down. But I got to say, like, there's no name, even though Manny's name is, you know, not what it was, it's still a big name. And, God, to meet him at 38 or 37, I mean, 138, 137, like, I don't know. I think it's a mistake. If you want to become, you know, he said he wants to be a pay-per-view guy. He said he wants to do pay-per-view in his next fight. It sounds like they're going to do ESPN Plus, or at least that was the goal at some point. But I don't know, man. We'll see. I would like that fight for Loma. I think he needs that exactly because beyond Mikey Garcia, which we don't know if that fight would ever happen, who's going to give him that kind of shine, you know? Terrence Crawford is already up the welterweight. He ain't coming down anytime soon. So I guess he just got to, you know, sweeten the pot. He's got to put a little bit more money up. Make, you know, Lomachenko an offer he can't refuse. But we'll keep you posted on that. Jacobs and Derevchenko actually was first rumored that it was going to be in the big room at Madison Square, which I was a little surprised. I was like, oh, wow, they got it, huh? That's okay, let's do it. Then we heard, no, it's actually in Long Island, which, you know, some of the fights haven't been messed, unless you have somebody on the undercard that, you know, is from that area, it hasn't been doing that good. Let's put it that way. And there was a rumor that HBO kind of was like, can we move it over here? So they're going to do it at the MSG Theater. I think it's called the Hulu Theater now. October 27th on HBO. Machado is going to be on the undercard, so they get a Puerto Rican in there too. Yeah. Jacobs Derevchenko, I can't say his fucking name. KH, help me out. I know you're going to give me shit about saying it, and that's okay. I deserve it. Derevchenko? I don't fucking know. October 27th, that's what I do know. HBO, that's right. HBO still, I believe, still carries boxing. Have you looked at that Superfly card? Oh, that's too bad, man. I hope they bounce back because two out of the three fights don't do much for me. But anyway, let's keep it moving. Keep it moving. Rigondeaux. Guillermo Rigo. There's a rumor that he was going to sign with this person, then that person. And it sounds like he's going to sign now. The rumor is with Al Haymon. And maybe Al Haymon will make him a PBC fighter exclusive to Fox. I don't know. Speaking of that, though, Al Haymon also signed Joy Joyce. He's that UK fighter who is promoted with the Ringstar Haymaker co-promotion over there in the UK. So Joe Joyce is joining Al Haymon as far as the crew. We'll see. He's going to make his U.S. debut fairly soon, it sounds like. So, what's that mean? Is he going to be an exclusive PBC fighter to Fox? Because that's the only way I think you can get around it and be like, all right, these are my PBC fighters for Al to the Fox, you know? in that deal, you could just say, hey, Wilder and a handful of other guys, they're Showtime fighters. But the rest of my crew, they're all PBC fighters. You know, you wonder how if Fox would go for that or not. couple other news items. Oh, PEDs, obviously something that is prevalent throughout the sporting landscape. It tends to mean more when you're in boxing, though, when you're already putting your life on the line. Mia St. John, the women's fighter, she said she admitted to using PEDs. She said at least in 20 of her fights, right around 20 of her fights, she guesstimates. Because she was like, we all know it's no big secret. I remember hearing this on Twitter. She was saying it's not a big secret. Everyone's on them anyway. And she started getting a lot of shit from other fighters, especially women's fighters, saying, what? What do you mean everybody's on them? And she admits it, which is, I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, at least you came clean, but it doesn't really matter now because you're not fighting anymore, you know? So, whatever. The WBO, I don't think I covered this. The WBO call a mandatory for Anthony Joshua. You know, the WBA had this time. That's Povetkin, right? That's his mandatory this time. So he has the WBO belt, which I think he just won off Joseph Parker, right? So the WBO is going to call for a mandatory. However, they don't have an opponent. They just know they're going to call their Mando. The number one ranked guy in the last ratings for WBO is Povetkin. So clearly they're not going to call Povetkin. But number two is Dillian White. So you do the math on that one. Dillian White is number two ranked in the WBO. Even though they haven't named the opponent, the actual mandatory, they just say they're going to name a mandatory. So kind of funny there. All right, so one more thing, and then I'm going to go to my guy Portland. So Portland, I don't know if you're still at work or if you're home yet or whatever, but you can kind of get in place if you need to get in place. So I think it was 2 weeks ago when we were talking about Wilder and Fury. And obviously Tyson has to get through the opponent here. They're going to go probably all WWE on it, right? And we'll see how quick they get into this promotion. You know, we heard it's 90% done, then 95% done, and then 99.999 repeating finished, which just tells me he's got to win. You know, will they do the Golovkin? They're probably not going to do the exact Canelo-Golovkin thing because Canelo was fighting Chavez Jr. If you could fight, and that was an exhibition too. You can't really call it a fight, but that was the main event. So they probably won't. Well, who knows? I don't know. The reason why I'm saying this is because Carl Frampton, a lot of his fans are the reason why, you know, they're in this stadium and they're in Northern Ireland, obviously. So I don't know how deep they'll go as far as the promotion and whatnot, but I did get some messages when I brought up the topic either this week or last week. I can't remember. Or 2 weeks ago, or what? Last week, I don't remember. But some people were asking me, you know, what do you think the thing does on pay-per-view? Clearly, you know, they're going to do a UK pay-per-view. And what was it? I think it was just under 400,000 was the last pay-per-view with Dillian White and Joseph Parker was just under 400,000. Now, obviously, you know, that was in prime time in the UK. So it wasn't at 4 in the morning. I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe Canelo and Golovkin did like 250 or 300, maybe 350, somewhere in that realm. And I'm using that because they're both big names. Golovkin had fought over there the year before that against Cal Brook, remember? So, and Canelo is just a big name in general. And it's also, it was on at 4 in the morning, you know, UK time. So, you know, they're going to do both. They're going to do both. But from what we're hearing, the money is still kind of high, like 10 or 15 million. Maybe they both get 10. Maybe one of them gets 10, the other gets 5 or 15 and 10. I don't know. It's all rumors right now. But, you know, that if they're going to – I remember Eddie Hearn actually saying this. I don't know if it was on the Boxing Voice with Ness in that interview or IFL TV or what. But he did say that kind of money, they'd have to do 700,000 buys here, you know, which that would be crazy. So my first instinct, though, just to get to the point, in Portland, are you kind of nearing position here? Just want to kind of catch up and see if I can pass it to you in a little bit. Let me know. So let's say it does 250, 300,000, right? Because Tyson Fury is a big name in the UK. And you got to remember, Anthony Joshua clearly is the guy, right? But, that means he's got a ton of fans. And you know those fans are going to be interested in Tyson Fury and Wilder. You know, some of the fanboys that are all about Joshua will be like, hey, take care of Wilder. Tyson Fury, I need you to take care of Wilder. Some people will think Tyson Fury, I don't like this dude. I like Anthony Joshua. I hope Wilder sparks out Fury so he could shut his mouth, because, you know, lately he's been going at both of them, but really Tyson Fury's been going at Anthony Joshua lately. So you know a lot of the fanboys are not going to like that for Anthony Joshua. And anytime you're a big name, you got fanboys. I don't care who you are, you got fanboys. So so let's say it does 250, 350, you know, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the morning, really, in the UK. Maybe it does 400,000. I have no clue. I have no clue. But what I do know is Dillian White and Joseph Parker aren't as exciting out of the ring as Tyson Fury or on camera as Tyson Fury. Don't get me wrong. Dillian White can say some stuff here and there, and he's a funny dude. He's getting better at hype and stuff, but he's no Tyson Fury. So, and I just think the popularity of Joshua, those fans, a good chunk of them, they gotta be interested. You know what I mean? So we'll see how that goes. I'm not really sure. It's hard for me to judge. I would like some UK fans to get a hold of me on Twitter or the ones that have my, you know, text message or whatever. However you do it. You know what I mean? Just to kind of give some input, you know, I'd like to get some input from the UK. I think Pacquiao and Hatton did like 350, 400. And I believe Mayweather and Hatton, and this is literally coming on 10 years ago. This December it'll be 10 years. God, that's crazy. Actually more. What am I saying? It'll be 11. That was 2007. So my whole point is Mayweather and Hatton at 4 in the morning or whatever, I think that did over a million. Now, obviously, Tyson Fury is not as big of a deal as Hatton was. But Anthony Joshua is. You see what I'm saying? Anthony Joshua is bigger than Ricky Hatton at this stage, at where he's at. So I'm thinking he's going to have – what percentage of Anthony Joshua fans that's like the main reason that they – that's the key reason they love boxing in the UK? They'll watch some other guys. They know Kell Brook. They know some other guys. They love Tony Bellew all of a sudden. They know some other guys and gals for that matter. But – their main dude is Anthony Joshua. That's their guy. How many of those, what percentage of those are going to buy the pay-per-view thinking the winner is going to face my guy, Anthony Joshua? I don't know. Now, here in the States, my first thought process, I think this was a couple weeks ago. So, my first process, or my first thought was, it's fucking late. I can just feel it. I think my first thought was, what I say, 150,000 to 300,000. And I think they got 200. I really do, because, you know, like I said then, I do have to see the rollout. I got to see how much overhead they're willing to spend on advertising as far as the press conference and all that. You know what I mean? Are they going to get the thing rolling, you know, after the fight and then Monday morning? Like, let's say this. Let's say this, you know, the fight coming up happens. Fury wins. You know, they WWE it in the fucking, you know, they go face-to-face. But how about this Monday morning, they're in Manchester or London or both, and they got a press conference already? Like, are they going to take advantage of this couple of weeks here before the Canelo-Golovkin stuff starts to heat back up? Now, if they went Manchester and London, came here and did L.A., New York, you know, right away, I'd think, okay, they mean business, you know? And obviously Showtime means business, because I think they made that clear when they offered, you know, $50 million and even, you know, and now we heard that it was actually $80 million because $30 million was guaranteed for the next fight that presumably would have been the UK. Sorry, I had to take a deep breath there and take a gulp of water. You know, would they add, because you can't get crazy with the overhead either, but would they add like Chicago and Houston or Miami and Houston or some, like another big city or two? New York and LA are huge if you spent a day with the press conference and you did a bunch of different radio and, you know, TV and digital type, you know, outlets. Interviews and stuff, hyping it, and then went to L.A. and did that. That'd be four cities. Now, my guess is they're going to do London, New York, and L.A. Obviously, fight week, they'll do something in Vegas. But if they went that extra step to bring these two big freaking guys, 6'9", 6'7", both undefeated, both can talk up a storm, if they brought them to Chicago or brought them to Houston or brought them to Atlanta, Miami, something. I think I really got to see the rollout before I start to guesstimate the actual pay-per-view. But like I said, I'm willing to say like 200 to 300 right now. 200,000 to 300,000. Plus, you know, Showtime's really going to back this up. Clearly, they were willing to back it up with Anthony Joshua. They were going to take a risk. It was real risky to put up that kind of money, especially now with this DAZN thing, you know, and how, you know, Joshua may just sign with DAZN for his U.S., you know, fights. That's where his fights get shown in the U.S. is DAZN. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see. I just don't know. I don't know how. Because how much, if the fight is in, they're saying November 10th or November 7th. And by the way, those are the two dates that Tony Bellew and Oleksandr Usyk are messing with too, the 10th or the 17th. And I wonder if Eddie Hearn deep down, that's why he's saying this fight's not going to take place, the Tyson Fury Wilder, because, you know, going head-to-head or, you know, the next weekend after, clearly you'd want to be the first pay-per-view rather than the second pay-per-view in that time. And it's funny because last week or the week before, Tony Bellew was talking about potentially needing a tune-up and then fighting next year. Now he's saying, I got to fight him this year or I'm done. I'm done with boxing. I need to get it done now. I want to fight him. So we'll see. I don't know. But some people think it's going to do 50,000, 80,000, 100,000. I think they got 150 easy. I really do. And I know it's hard to come by these days. Don't get me wrong. But if CBS, who owns Showtime, if they can, they have college football on Saturdays in the fall and into the winter for CBS. They also have NFL on Sundays. So if they could just here and there a week or two out have some sort of advertising during that, because, during the week we're always going to get those commercials for the pay-per-view. And we see them on a variety of stations. We get those. Those are what basically everybody does that does a pay-per-view. But we have seen even like a Golovkin, who was a large name at that time, even bigger now, obviously, all right with Lemieux. And he did a little bit better, I think, 170 or 150 with Jacobs. But I don't know. I don't know how much, like when you're watching, let's say you're watching a football game and it's on a timeout or they're coming back from commercial and you see them just promote something real quick. It's not like they got to have a segment or anything like that or even run commercials months before anything. That stuff is very expensive, obviously. When you're in the NFL or even SEC football, that ad space isn't cheap, clearly. But if they could find a way to get it on CBS somehow, not the fight, but the advertising, just here and there, just in the corner says Wilder Fury, hey, November 10th or whatever the hell the date's going to be. That outlet, I think, is key. And also, if they could get Broner, Porter and Garcia are fighting, that should do a good rating. Broner's going to fight, I believe, in a couple of months on Showtime. That'll be a good rating. Clearly, that'll help them there to advertise there. But I don't know. I just think it'll do better than 100,000 or 75,000. I really do. I think so, because you'll have guys that can – they have a presence on social media, one. I think this pay-per-view could do even better if it was a couple of years ago, because Tyson Fury had been – and, he fought in New York. I think that fight, peaked at, 1.7 or something like that. The Klitschko performance, it was over $1 million during the day. I think the combined was, 1.7. So people know him. And once you hear his name, Tyson Fury, it stands out, right? But that was 3 years ago. You know what I mean? So I really I don't know that part. But I do know he can talk a good game. Obviously, both of them can. And let's not forget, Wilder's had some big races. He's coming off, last November, the social media, what he did on social media after that knockout, the meme, not him, but where it went, it was pretty amazing considering nobody wanted to watch that fight, right? With the meme, Stavern doing the limbo on the bottom rope, out on the rope, resting. And then, obviously scoring that big rating. It peaked at 1.2 on Showtime. That hadn't happened in 3 years. It hadn't happened even on, HBO and two before Golovkin's last fight. So he's had some big numbers lately. It was a really fun fight to watch, especially the last chunk of rounds with Luis Ortiz, obviously. And he finished him off and a great fashion and whatnot, knocked him down, knocked him out. But also the last couple of years, basically since he's gotten the belt in 2015, he was on NBC in front of 3 million people. A couple of times on Fox, those peaked over 2 million. I think it was 2.4, 2.5. So he's been in front of bigger audience than we're accustomed to let's say before this network TV, ESPN stuff, the PBC, now Top Rank and whatnot. Before that, we got a couple of NBC late afternoons, remember, with Duva, with Main Events. We did. We got that. In fact, that was one of them, Cunningham and Tyson Fury. So he's actually been in front of bigger crowds than we were used to prior to 2015 when it was Premier Cable. Because remember, Stevie Forbes and Oscar De La Hoya on HBO, I think it did like a 2.5 million. I'm sure it peaked higher. But giving you an example of Wilder's been out there, man. He has been out there. So he's been out there more than Golovkin as far as ratings because of those Fox shows and the NBC show. Obviously, Gennady did better on average, you know, on HBO, but you generally do anyway. And he's becoming, you know, he has a base at home that keeps growing every show. And when he goes there, and obviously at the Barclays, man, this is, what, his third fight there. He's fought in front of big crowds, and he's put on a show. There's been times where it looked like he's going to get beat. Even Spilka was out boxing him. He put him to sleep, almost killed him. Thank God Spilka's okay. You know, and like I said, his last performance. So it could do more than 300,000. I'm not saying that. I just kind of got to get a feel of their rollout. You know what I mean? So we'll see. But it could do, I don't think it does 500 and 700,000 and all that, but I think it could do a good number. I really do. So it looks like Portland, unfortunately, has to finish up some stuff at work. So I understand. It's all good. I can definitely hear you. I heard, like, the blog lady, you know. I heard my intro and I heard that, but I didn't hear it in my headset. I heard it on my speaker of my computer, which is not supposed to happen. The speaker is supposed to be quiet, and I'm supposed to hear, you know, the intro music, my callers, my, you know, the co-host, basically. I'm supposed to hear them in my headset, not on my speakers. So that's what got messed up, and that's why I think somebody, a really good friend of mine actually Skyped somebody the other day when she was over, and I don't know what the hell happened, but it generally wasn't like this. So I was hoping I could get Portland on real quick to just hear his voice to see if I could tweak it and get it on here. But that's okay. That's okay. At least he was able to tell me that he heard me loud and clear. But anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy the fights. Hopefully, you know, it's a better weekend next weekend as far as some good fight. I like that Beltran-Pedraza fight. On paper, man, come forward fighter against the out guy that's going to try to outbox you on the outside. It's an interesting fight, and the winner faces Lomachenko in December. I think it was December 1st, if I remember correctly. Speaking of December 1st, sounds like that's the date for sure for Stevenson and Voshtik. Starts with a G, but there's no G. Voshtik, I think that's what his name, that's how you say it. So I can't believe it. You may want to sit down when you hear the news, but Stevenson might have two tough fights in 1 year. If you can believe it. I'm not sold on it yet. I don't know. But we'll see. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. You guys enjoy the fights. Like I said, hopefully we get a barn burner. And I'll be back next week. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, or the bullshit, the whole bag. And when you become the world champion, you're like, you know what? I made it.